Good evening, class. We're going to be talking about today, chapter 13 in our spiritual authority book, Primary Credentials for Delegated Authorities, and that is revelation. You must have a revelation of delegated authority before you can even function in it properly. Now, I'm going to do quite a bit of reading. I'm begin by reading Exodus 3, 1 to 12. So if you got that book, opening your Bible, go ahead and just follow along with me as I read, because there's going to be quite a bit of reading, because there's a certain point I need to get across, and to get this point across, we need to do some reading. So in Exodus 3, verses 1 through 12, it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God unto Horeb. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Jehovah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now what God's doing here, God beginning to make Moses his delegated authority. So pay attention here. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, I want you to turn your Bible with me to see the second part of this. Now you're about to see Moses in his position of authority, and his position is about to be challenged. If you're in authority, your authority will be challenged. And you must know how to respond properly when your authority is challenged. Numbers 12, everybody familiar with this scripture, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now notice in your Bible, I always wonder, I said, Lord, I don't see much instances of rebellion in the New Testament like I see in the Old Testament, because I see a lot of examples. I see the Korah in this game, Miriam, and so on and so forth, but I never saw a whole lot in the New Testament to be able to gauge things by. But then I learned a word that I just crossed over here. This word, against. Whenever you see the word against, you're coming against authority, and it opened my eyes to see, even the New Testament, every time people began to rebel against God, against his children of God, you can see it against Peter, you can see it against Apostle Paul, that word against means there was rebellion in place, and I couldn't see it until I understood this. So the word against, it's a rebellious word, because God trying to show us that they'll come against whom he delegated. So they came, Aaron spake against Moses, because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken also with us? And Jehovah heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek. Above, no, it doesn't say weak. Meek. I find out that meek is power or authority under harness, under control. He was very meek. Above all the men that were upon the face of the earth, and Jehovah spake. Now you don't just get meek. See, God has to develop Moses to be a meek person. Because you're going to find out that as we go a little further, that when Moses met these men, these Hebrew men that was coming against his army, and he asked them, why are you fighting against your brothers? He wasn't so meek then because he had one of them killed. So meekness, these characteristics had to be developed in an authority, a delegated authority. So the Bible says he was meek because that's after Moses went through the process. If you're going to be in an authority, you got to go through a process where God got to, you got to go through the cross, and then you got to see a resurrection, that God take you from a cross to the resurrection. Those things that are supposed to stay dead should stay dead. And those things are going to resurrect, like meekness and kindness and long-suffering, going to resurrect and going to stay alive. So above all the men that were upon, he was meek above all the men upon the face of the earth, and Jehovah spake solemnly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three, unto the tent of the meeting. And the three came out. And Jehovah came down in a pillar of cloud, and stood at the door of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. In other words, Moses don't have to figure out what God is saying. And the form of Jehovah shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant and against Moses? And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them. And he departed, and the cloud removed from over the tent. And behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, and Aaron said unto Moses, O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, sin upon us, for we have done foolishly, for that we have sinned. You see, people respond foolishly when they don't know or understand authority. Once you understand authority, you're not going to respond or act foolishly. And so God, in a way, had mercy upon Aaron and Miriam, even though Miriam became leprosy. But God's mercy was there because they responded and act foolishly. And for that we have sinned. Let her not, I pray thee, be as one dead, of whom thy flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of thy mother's womb. And Moses cried unto Jehovah, saying, hear her, O God, I beseech thee. And Jehovah said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? See, God, I wonder why. I said, why God didn't just let her off? She was sorry, they repented. But no, sometimes there are consequences that follow sin or your error or when you come against authority. And sometimes God has to judge these things in such a way that you may learn not to do it again. I never heard an instant after that about Miriam. I think they learned a great lesson, and it took 7 days to learn it. And look what happened. Let her be shut up without the camp 7 days, and after that she shall be brought in again. And Miriam was shut without the camp 7 days, and the people, let me stop right here. You see, I find this out. Who can stop the work of God? No one can stop the work of God. Even rebellion did not stop. It slowed it down a little bit. Rebellion might slow God's work down, but it's never going to stop it. It's going to continue because God is God. That's why it continues. and no one going to be able to stop his work. If Miriam and Aaron would have failed the test, God would have found someone else to replace them and do what he would need to be done. So you're not going to stop God's work. And Miriam was shut up without the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. See, it stopped the whole, some say 2.5 million, 3 million people. One person, two people made a mistake, and they got in rebellion against the authority, and it shut the whole caravan down for 7 days. My. See, so God can't have rebellion in the camp. God can't have people act dishonorable. God can have people act disrespectful against authority and not do nothing about it. No. I bet the people feared after that, because they say, that's Moses and sisters and brothers. If God do that to them, what about us? Yeah, there should be some element of fear, because God is no respecter of person, and God deal with whosoever he has to deal with to get his job done. Amen. So, point number one. No delegated authority given by God in the Old Testament was greater than that of Moses. Consequently, we may use him as an example from which to learn. Moses is a great example. I sometimes call him Pastor Moses, because he had a congregation and because God made him one of the largest churches ever was. 2.5, 3 million people that he had to minister at once. I mean, he had to take them from point A to point B. You try to take 50 people and you got trouble. But God used Moses as an example to deal with people on the mass. My goodness. So it took a lot of humility. It took a lot of meekness. It took a lot of patience. It took Moses 40 years on the backside of the mountain to be prepared for this. How long you been being prepared? Took him 40 years from the time God dealt with him with the Hebrew that he slayed while he was in captivity, and until the time that God called him by the burning bush was 40 years. So it took him 40 years to put some things in Moses and take some things out of Moses to develop him to a place where he had to have a cross experience, and he also had to have a resurrection experience. So you always got to have those experiences. Amen. We will focus on how he reacted when his authority was transgressed. So you got to know, how am I going to react? How am I to react when I'm threatened, when my authority seems threatened or transgressed or ridiculed or opposed or rejected? How am I to respond? Okay, before the time of his appointment, listen to this now, by God to authority, Moses had killed an Egyptian that had reprimanded the Hebrew for struggling together. When he was challenged by a Hebrew, hear what the Hebrew said. Who made you a prince and a judge over us? His own people challenged him prior to him becoming God's authority, and he was just only trying to vindicate them and help them, but they couldn't understand that. They saw Moses as a threat, even in captivity. Now, Moses cracked. In other words, he couldn't stand it, because this man, it was made known to him that he thought he had did it and no one saw. You see? But it was made known that he had killed this Hebrew. And when Moses found that out, he fled. He fled, and he went on the backside of the mountain. And at that time, he had not yet experienced the cross and the resurrection. And I hope you understand this better. You got to experience the cross and the resurrection. He did everything by his natural strength. Yes, he tried to make correction by his natural strength. He tried to help the Hebrews. When he found out that he was a Hebrew child, he found out that I need to help my people in this captivity. But that wasn't the way. Natural way wasn't the way. God had a way to do it, but it took him 40 years. It was 40 years later before God helped the people of Israel, because God had to get his leader ready. Sometimes it takes a time to get leadership in place, the kind of leadership God desires. You don't just grow up overnight. You see, sometimes an apostle would say, he said, people think I got it overnight. Say, if it was a long night. No, it took many years for apostle to be developed into what God, person that God can use mighty and greatly like he does. That's why the words are so strong, the word is so powerful, and the word is so accurate. Because he has learned the process that he fear God above everything. And he's going to do what God said to do. Though he was quick to reprimand and even brave to kill, within, I'm talking about Moses, he was weak and empty in his natural self. Without experience the cross and without experience the resurrection, his natural self couldn't handle the job. He could not stand under testing. You can't stand under testing when you ain't experienced the cross. He could not stand under testing. When tried, he grew afraid and fled to the wilderness of Midian. There, for 40 years, he learned his lesson. 40 years. How long you been waiting? How long you been preparing yourself? Or how long you been letting God prepare you? After that long period of trial, God gave him one day a vision of the burning bush. The bush was on fire, yet it was not consumed. With this vision, God appointed him to authority. This was Moses' appearance with God when God set him apart to make him his leader. I almost want to say a divine leader, because it was a divine task that you couldn't do in your own strength. So God had to prepare him for it. And God appeared to him because God knew he was ready. My goodness, why I said that? Since sometimes we think we're ready, but God ain't going to allow us to go until he know we're ready. So he knew that Moses had got ready and had some things in his heart. Amen. Let us now notice how Moses reacted later on when his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam spoke against him and rejected his delegated authority. Yeah, people going to come against you. Sometimes your own family members, that's the worst one, come against you because you think they'll be with you. But they were envious of him, and they thought they knew him by the flesh. You can know a person by the flesh, but you might not know him by the spirit. And so God don't deal with the flesh. God was dealing with Moses through the spirit, and they couldn't see that nor understand that. They still thought they were equal because they had flesh connection. Flesh connection don't mean you're equal when it comes to the spirit of God and when it comes to the anointing that God used in divine leadership. Amen. And then, so point number two, do not listen to a slanderous word. I'm going to make this point number one. Do not listen to a slanderous word. Yeah, those slanderous words hurt sometimes. They'll cut you. But when God got through developing Moses over the 40 years, you're going to find out Moses never responded to those slanderous words. And that's the quality that God was trying to pull out of Moses and try to get him to not respond yourself. Let him respond for you. They questioned Moses. Do you alone speak for God? That's what Miriam said. You who have married a Cushite woman, has not God spoken through us also? Yeah, God may have said some things too. Some say Miriam was a prophetess. God may have used him once or twice, but that don't make him your authority, because God used you to a word, to give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or you might prophesy in a congregation, might spoke with other tongues and with interpretation. But that don't mean God choose you at leadership. That don't mean you got disrespect authority because you got a gift might be working in you or through you. No, Miriam said, hasn't God always spoken to us? How can a seed of Shem, this is what she was saying, married to a seed of Ham, continue in God's ministry? Well, what she was saying is that the woman he married was a seed of Ham, and he was a seed of Shem. See, Ham was supposed to be the cursed one, but and Shem was the one that obeyed his father Noah. So she questioned his authority. Can we not minister, we who are children of Shem, and not married to a child of Ham? Of all this, the Bible simply records, and Jehovah heard it. God heard it. See, people think that when they speak in rebellious words, only those in this earth atmosphere can hear it. But I find out rebellious words ascend directly to heaven and heard by God. You have to go straight to heaven. And I think they bypass everything, and because God's ears are open to the hearts of people. And Jehovah heard it. And it was as if Moses had never heard it. What does that mean? Because Moses didn't respond to it. Moses did not answer those slanderous words. And Moses did not even acknowledge those slanderous words, because God had got him past it. His training and his his 40 years on the backside of the mountain in Midian with his father-in-law Jethro, and with the stock, the livestock, and all the sheep that he was shepherding, preparing for it. Moses never heard it. Hence, we find a man who could not be touched by men's word. And that's what it takes. When you can't be touched by men's word, then you're not going to respond. God has to be the one to respond for you, because you're going to respond in the flesh. Moses had to respond once in the flesh. You knew that with the Hebrew man that he slayed, trying to protect the Hebrew children. And so he don't want to go in the flesh no more, because God taught him about that. All who desire to be God's spokesman and desire to help the brothers and sisters must learn not to listen to slander. You're going to get a lot of it. If you're any kind of authority, you're going to get judged by some of the best. And you should never listen to a slander or lie to affect you or get into your ear gate, because then you're going to want to respond. Let God do the listening. On your part, do not pay any attention to how people criticize you. Yeah, they're going to criticize you. Do not get angry because of others' words. Those who are disturbed and overwhelmed by words of slander prove themselves unfit to be a delegate. I'm going to read that one more time. Those who are disturbed and overwhelmed by words of slander or criticism prove themselves unfit to be a delegate authority. You see, so one of the qualifications or one of the qualifying factors here is that you've got to be able to rise above those things, and you have to have a certain maturity level where God have put a revelation in you that you don't have to respond. I'm your defense. See, you got to make God your defense. And that's my next statement here. I'm going to call this point number two. Make no self-defense. You got to get to a place where you don't want to defend yourself. Because if you defend yourself, then you become your own judge. And God is your judge. Vindication or defense or whatever reaction there may be should come from God, not from man. I'm going to read that again. Vindication or defense or whatever reaction we're talking about when you come under fire for being a delegated authority. Whatever reaction there may be should come from God, not from man. Because we're going to find out God is our defense. He who vindicates himself does not know God. My goodness. Did you hear what I said? He who vindicates himself does not know God in that manner. You may know God as your Savior. You may know God even as your healer. But as when it comes to authority, you don't know God when it comes to leadership. No one on earth could ever be more authoritative than Christ. Yet he never defended himself. That's our primary example. We use Moses as an example, but Christ is the ultimate example. Christ is God's handbook on authority. Authority and self-defense are incompatible. The one against whom you defend, listen to this, listen. The one against whom you defend yourself becomes your judge. Whenever you defend yourself, the one in whom you're trying to defend yourself, he becomes the judge. He rises higher than you. Then you got to answer to him. You got to explain to him. No, that should be no explanation. He rises higher than you when you begin to answer his criticism. Never answer your critics. Let God answer for them. Just you keep silent. that was the old statement. You get to a place where God got to fight certain battles for you. You know, he speaks for himself. He who speaks for himself is under judgment. Don't speak for yourself. Whenever you get in a position where you got to explain your authority, you put yourself under judgment. Therefore, he is without authority. And it's when you go under judgment, you're stripped of your authority. My goodness. Whenever you go under judgment by others, your authority is stripped, and you've lost it all, and they will respect your authority more because now we're equal. I can correct you whenever I get ready. No. But when God corrects you, they're going to know whom is authority. They're going to know that you're not standing alone. They'll know that you have a backing that can back you up under any criticism, under any circumstance, under any question of authority. Never answer your critics of authority. Never answer your judges of authority. When you do that, you remain in authority. Care less what they say. You know God put you in authority. Paul stood before the Corinthian believer as a delegated authority, yet he said, I judge not my own self. That's 1 Corinthians 4:3. Now, point number three, vindication comes from God. Let God do the vindication. Let God vindicate you. Let God make wrong things right. Let God make everything back, put everything back in order. You see, that's what Moses did. The moment you justify yourself before a person, he becomes your judge. As soon as you try to explain, you are falling before him. You don't have to explain anything. You don't have to explain anything. Well, why you did? You don't have to explain anything. Very meek. That one the qualification of Moses. You had to be very meek. Number 12, record that God heard the slander. And verse 4, that God took action. But between comes verse 3, as a parathetic statement. Now, the man Moses was very meek. That's number four, point number four, meekness. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Now, God didn't just put that part in the scripture just to fill up a space. That's one of the primary factors that made Moses the authority he was. And so it's sandwiched. That was the in-between of verse 3. You see it? And so let's read this some more. The man Moses was very meek. I didn't say very weak. Above all the men that were upon the face of the earth, Moses did not strive. What do you mean did not strive? He did not argue with Miriam and Aaron because he realized he had erred. God cannot appoint a stiff-necked person to authority. He will not delegate authority to an arrogant person. Those whom he set up in authority are the meek and the tender, and this is not ordinary meekness. It is the meekness of God. Maybe no one ever seen the meekness of God. You don't know what God put up with. If God just was like sometimes men are, the whole face of the earth would be wiped out. But God is so meek and so tender and so loving, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. That's meekness. You see it? The more we try, the less we are fit for authority. That's in our own self. It's not the violent or the strong, but a man like Paul, whose bodily presence is weak and whose speech is of no account, whom God will establish as authority. So just because you think you are a prolific speaker or you took courses on authority on your job, and that don't make you qualified. The law says that his kingdom is not of this world, and that therefore his servants need not fight. Authority obtained through fighting is not what is given by God. People usually assume such things as the following to be the necessary requirement for an authority: splendor, magnificence, strength of personality, bearing or appearance, or power. No, they're not the qualification to be an authority. To be an authority, they reason, one must possess a strong determination, clever ideas, and eloquent lips. It is not these that represent authority. You see it? God looked past all the eloquent lips and clever ideas and crafty thoughts. It is not these that represent authority. Instead, they stand for the flesh. No one in the Old Testament exceed Moses as God's established authority. Yet he was the meekest of all men. While he was in Egypt, he was quite fierce, both in killing the Egyptian and in reprimanding the Hebrews. He dealt with people by his own fleshly hand. So at that time, God did not appoint him as an authority. See, God knows when you're ready. Yes, he does. It was only after he had passed through many trials and had been dealt with by God. See, sometimes in natural life, we don't understand. Sometimes God permits us to go through a little thing, and how we respond, how we act, how we, the results of our action determine our readiness. We don't know. God is preparing us for future things. God is putting us through acid tests to see if we can handle certain things, certain rebukes, how you respond when the authority rebuke you, and when somebody don't love you just right, when somebody criticize you for certain things. And see, all that is a test. And Moses went through a few. And sometimes you go through a few. And those few tests are for a reason. And so go through the test. Go through the trial. Because God is trying to put you through a fire, a refining fire that can put you into the position that he needs you to go through. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So it was only after he had passed through many trials and been dealt with by God, only after he had become very meek, he had that word again, only after Moses became very, all the training, all the preparation will lead him to meekness. Oh, see, because in your own mind, you think you're ready. See, all your training, all your tests, and all your trials are preparing you for meekness. You're not meek as you think you are. You see it? We, none of us are meek as we think we are until we put through a test. More than all men on earth, Moses was meek. That God used him to be an authority. The person least likely to be given authority is often the one whom consider himself an authority. The least likely. The person that don't, you think don't not qualified. But see, that's a person God can deal with. That's the person that God can bend, that God can twist, that God can wring out, and God can put some things in. See, that's the person God can move. God can shift some things around. God can take some things, permit some things to be taken away, and God can put some things in them they don't know they're putting in them. That's the one he's qualifying for authority. Don't be afraid to be corrected. Don't be afraid to change when God can show you something not right. Don't hold on to that stinking pride, because that pride is right, the scripture said. Pride come right before the fall. Don't let pride be a stumbling block. Permit some of these things to be stripped off of you. See, so here's this big word here. Revelation is the one credential of authority. Yeah, meekness come through test trials and things you don't like to go through. But if you don't get a revelation on what God is doing, then all of it is for naught. You wasted your time and you wasted God's time. And the time is short. Right now, God ain't got no time to waste. You got to get ready in a hurry. And Jehovah spake suddenly unto Moses, and to Aaron, and to Miriam. I'm going to move through. Come out, ye three, unto the tent of the tabernacle. Suddenly mean, unexpectedly. Aaron and Miriam may have spoken against Moses many times, but now, abruptly, God called the three of them to the tent of the meeting. Let me tell you what I thought. This is my thought on it. You tell me what you think when you get a chance, but I can tell you my thought. When God said, come out, you three, see, Miriam and Moses, they probably, through growing up, they were elder brothers and sisters to Moses. So they thought they had a right to correct them when they wanted. Because that's just our baby. I got a sister. Oh, she's older than me. But every time she get around people, oh, my little baby brother. And so making me feel like she's my authority. But you see, but she's not, you see. But and that's the way I think Moses, what they were trying to do Moses, bring him down to a human level and correct him and say things what they want to say. But when God called these three out to the tabernacle, you three come up. They had in the back of their minds, I assume, that we're going to see who's right. God going to show Moses that he's not handling everything just right. And so when they came out, they were expecting God to be on their side. But lo and behold, to their surprise, God dealt with them in a mighty way. And they saw for themselves that Moses was truly God's authority, and Moses didn't place himself in authority. And they couldn't see him anymore as a little brother. They had to see him as the man of God, a man directing God's people from Egypt to the promised land. And they had to see it by revelation. But it took a divine correction. It took a supernatural hand of God and a move of God to bring this thing to their eyes so they can see. I hope you see what I'm saying. So God spoke abruptly and called the three of them to the tent of the meeting. And many who rebel against authority do so outside the tent. It is very easy and convenient to criticize at home. Even so, everything will be cleared up in the tent of meeting. As the three came to the tent, the Lord spoke to Aaron and Miriam, hear ye now my words. In the past, they had murmured. Had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Now the Lord asked them to come and hear his word. Revealing the fact that they had never before heard God's word. Aaron and Miriam had never known what God was saying. They never did, because God never spoke to them mouth to mouth. This was the first time the Lord spoke to them, and it was not in revelation, but in reproof and correction. Not in manifestation, not the manifestation of God's glory, but the judgment of their conduct. Hear now my word. Meaning that not only had the Lord not spoken before, that, but furthermore, he was indicating that he wants to be allowed to speak this once, since they had already been speaking for so many days. You who are well able to speak, hear now my word. From this we can safely conclude that the talkative are not able to hear God's word, only the meek can do so. Well, class, that's in my time. And this in my class for this year. And I pray to God that something was imparted to you, mostly that you understood what it takes to be an authority. And God is faithful to him that he calls. Amen and be blessed.